It's always a pleasure to be here. Let me open in prayer. Father, we come before you this Sunday morning. We thank you. I thank you for this church. I thank you for your love that has gone in to each member represented here, to their families, to their grandparents, to just bringing us to this moment where we can love and honor and worship you. Father, we come before you and praise you, for you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our love, for you are God, and you loved us first. Father, we come before you and just lift this time up, that we would learn more of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Yes, the sermon today is called Christianity 101. And what I wanted to do with John 3:16 was to bring you back also. Brother John here was saying, yeah, John 3:16, that's my favorite verse. You know, and it's true. Sometimes we forget the basics of our faith. Sometimes we let go a little bit of the things that are just almost right before us. And God wants us to understand Christianity 101. Thankfulness to him. You see, next week, a week and a half, we will be having a celebration here in the United States of America called Thanksgiving. But many people don't really know who they're giving thanks to or what they're giving thanks for. We, as believers in Jesus Christ, we know who we thank. We know who our God is. And this thankfulness for us is a very, very important part of our worship and our love for God. Thankfulness. We're going to be reading from Ephesians 14 to 21. But what I want to set up for you is a little bit the time of this. This is written by Paul to the Ephesians church, to the church in Ephesus. Paul, in verse 12, and I'll start a little bit before 14, but Paul, in verse 12, says this, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my suffering for you, which are your glory. You see, Paul was in prison. Paul was in prison for proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to this church, probably. I mean, he was in prison in Rome, but he was in prison there for proclaiming the gospel. Paul was trying to encourage this young church in Ephesus. You kind of think it would be the opposite, that the church would be trying to encourage Paul, since he's the one sitting in prison. But it wasn't. Paul decided that he wanted to encourage the church. And how he was going to do it would be with the basics of Christianity. With Christianity 101. Now, my daughter just recently went off to college. My son is in college. My daughter is a freshman in college. So I'm very aware of these 101 classes. And in college, what they are, they're the basics. You know, they're where we get our foundation. They're the basics. They're the basis of our faith. And thankfulness, Paul fully understood, would be a key element to this faith that cannot and will not be taken away from you, no matter what the circumstances. Paul is sitting here in prison, and he's thankful. Well, some of our circumstances can be very difficult, too. Some of us are very far away from home in a country that we barely know. But we can still be thankful. Some of us have job issues, different issues going on in our life. You know, kids, there's a lot of stress and pressure. I'm an educator for 30-some-odd years here. There's a lot of stress and pressure being a young student, being a college student, being a young person in the world today. How can we be thankful in circumstances that are very, very difficult? Well, Paul begins with verse 15. Sorry, with verse 14. And he says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom all this whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray. We can be thankful because we can pray. We can speak to the living God. We can come before God and pray to Him. And as our words, as we kneel or stand or talk, in whatever way it would be, we can communicate to God Almighty, and He hears us. That is something we should always remember. That is something we should be very, very thankful for, that we can talk to God. You are not alone. That there is a God that we can come before and we can thank and praise Him. We can thank and praise God for so many blessings. Well, He made the heavens. He made the earth. He's the giver of life. He's the giver of the very next breath that we take here upon the earth. We as Christians, we understand. And we can also thank God. We can thank God for the gospel, that God Himself left heaven, came to earth to live among sinful people like us, that He gave His life on a cross to conquer both sin and death, that He rose from the dead. He has victory over both sin and death. And we as Christians, as we put our faith and trust in Him, we are in His family. We are His children. The Hebrew people in the Middle East, they always thought of blessings this way. They said, thank God for your blessings, but always understand that blessings are tests. They are tests to us. What are you going to do with those blessings? Well, we can do two things. We can take things for granted, and we can just absorb whatever blessings we have and grumble about blessings we don't have. But we can do another thing. Or we can see our life as a gift from God and thank Him for all He has done and what He is doing. How do we avoid the trap in our society of complacency, of ungratefulness? We live in a very ungrateful time. How do we avoid these traps of boredom, complacency, of just taking things for granted? We avoid them by being thankful in prayer, communicating with this living God. We avoid them through this gift of prayer. We take thanks in what God has done. Well, take a look at verses 16 and 17. I'm going to start in the middle here. It says, and I pray, 16. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The next thing that Paul wanted this church to understand, to be thankful for, is that we can thank God for His Holy Spirit. For His Holy Spirit that is here right now in this room, but we can't see Him, we can't feel Him, we can't sense Him. He is the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What is His work? What is the work of the Holy Spirit? It's to point people, to point sinners to Jesus Christ, to point people like you and I to the truth of Jesus Christ, to open our hearts, to understand the words of this Bible. You see, God did not leave us alone. When He rose from the dead and returned to the Father and sits at the right hand of the Father and prays for you, He left us his Holy Spirit here upon the earth. And this Holy Spirit is a gift to be amazingly thankful for. He sees us. He speaks to our hearts. Oh, not in words, but in gentle whispers. You see, I've never heard God speak audibly into my life. Carl, do this. I've never heard that. God could do it if he desires. I've never heard that. But I have heard the Holy Spirit speak to my heart. I have had the Holy Spirit move me from a very hard-hearted, stubborn person to believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That was his work. That was his doing. Pointing me through the truth of God's word. For me, it was the book of Matthew, one of the Gospels. The Holy Spirit opened my eyes to the truth of God's word and revealed the love of Jesus Christ to my heart. You see, it is the Holy Spirit who gives us faith. How? How does the Holy Spirit move? Oh, I wrestled with that this morning. And the reality, it is the Holy Spirit knows. He moves in individual hearts in exactly the way that you need him. You see, each one of us is very different. He will move in your heart very differently than he moved in mine. But he points each one of us to the truth of his written word, the Bible, and to the truth of Jesus Christ in our lives and the work that Jesus Christ has done. The Holy Spirit is seeking us. The Holy Spirit is reaching down his hand, his Spirit, to us. How does it work? How does he move? I only know that he does. And I've seen the work in my life, and I've seen the work in countless other lives as I've had the privilege of serving him now these many years. He speaks often in a gentle, soft whisper. He doesn't necessarily, you know, he speaks that way. He can speak in other ways if he desires. He opens our eyes to see. And when we believe, he dwells in us, in our inner beings, in our hearts. Christians have many gifts from God. But there are two gifts that I want to talk to you about this morning. One is this amazing gift of eternal life. It's a gift of eternal life. And the other gift is this gift of righteousness. I'm going to try to give an example of this, and I hope you understand what I'm... Are there any girls in this church that when they're 8 years old like dolls? Anybody? Thank you very much. Okay, glad. Okay, thank you. My daughter liked dolls also, okay? And my daughter has had... My dad died before my daughter was born, but my daughter had three very loving grandparents. Praise God for our grandparents. Well, when my daughter was 8 and 7 and 6 years old, her grandparents, very loving, very generous, very kind, very good, and my mom, more on this, my wife's parents a little less... My mom would always get my daughter savings bonds for Christmas. Now, they were of fairly high quantity of value, like hundreds of dollars, you know, hundreds of dollars of savings bonds. But my daughter would look at the savings bond, and it really didn't mean very much to her. Oh, here's $100. She was kind of wanting that doll, you know, the little doll that she could have that was a few dollars. The hundreds of dollars in savings bond really meant very little to her. Be careful. We as Christians can sometimes be like that. We have the gift of eternity, but it's not yet. It's not now. And sometimes we can grow complacent on this amazing gift of eternity. Now that my daughter is 18 years old and driving a car and she can access that money to buy things, you know, she realizes that amazing, you know, wonderful, generous gift of her grandparents. But you see, God gives us two gifts. He gives us the gift of eternal life, but he also gives us the gift that we need right now. He gives us the gift of righteousness. His Spirit in us. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, His Spirit comes and dwells in us now. God guides us. He leads us. He instructs us. He helps us. He convicts us. When we're going wrong, He corrects us. We have this gift of righteousness now. You see, He understood, oh, I'm going to give you the big gift. I'll give you eternal life. But you can also have the little doll too. You can have my presence with you forever here upon earth. And it's the gift of His righteousness. We really have no righteousness on our own. But we can be righteous in Him. Or when we fall, He picks us up and He builds us up. The next thing that Paul wanted this church to be thankful for, it's going to be in the middle of 17. And Paul would go on. He'd say, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." The third gift that he wanted us to be thankful for is love. Does God want you to love him? Yes, he does. God wants you to love him. Why does God want you to love him? Because it is the greatest gift that he can offer you. He can offer you himself. And he does. God offers us himself. And when we love him, there's no greater gift. To love God and to know God and to know that he loves you. There's a good definition of love. You don't have to turn there, but there's a great definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Many people use this for their marriage verse. And it's 13:4. And it defines love pretty well, excellently. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects and always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. That's the love that God wants you to know that he has for you. He has that love for his creation. It's an amazing love. It's a love that the world, all nations, all people need to know. It's a gift. And we have the power together with all the saints to encourage one another to know and appreciate this love more and more. Last night, I had the privilege of going to a baptism in a church that I served in for 3.5 years, New Life Gospel. And actually, your pastor, Pastor Lowe, also served there with me. Praise God. And there was a baptism last night. And this church has now partnered with a Messianic church, with a Jewish church in Brooklyn. So you have this Chinese church and this Messianic Jewish church having this baptism in a little swimming pool in the center of Christ Community Church. And what you saw, what I saw, was the love of God. Not only the love of God entering the hearts of the two young ladies who were being baptized, but the love of God in these two churches linked together, working together, and loving each other in an amazing way. This gift of love is something that God wants the world to know. For, as John knows, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. What an amazing favorite verse to have, to hold on to. That's the basics of our faith. Look at verse 19 with me, if you would. Verse 19 again reads, "And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." That's a wow verse. You can be filled to the fullness, to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Do you want that? Do you want to be filled with the love of God? If you do, he wants that for you. He wants that for me. What must one do to be filled with the love of God? Ask him. Ask him. He wants you to have that. He wants his children to know his love in fullness. Never be afraid to ask the Lord to fill you with his Spirit. One day I'll come, because I know Pastor Lowe wants me to do that. Lord willing, one day I'll come and talk to you about the Great Awakening. I've been doing a lot of work on that, so I'll be happy to do that. I was reading and thinking and hearing yesterday about Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards resolved, great early 1730s pastor, he resolved in his heart to understand and to live out the love of God in his life. He made a resolve that says, "Lord, I want to be filled with your Spirit, and I want to live this out before my church, my family, my community, and my friends. And I resolve to do it in your power, in your strength." God heard that prayer in Jonathan Edwards. And I believe God will hear that prayer in each of us as we resolve to love him more. If you do not know Jesus fully yet at this time, I urge you to ask him to reveal his truth to you. Ask for the faith to believe. Where does faith come from? First and foremost, faith comes from God. Faith comes from the Holy Spirit revealing this truth. To ask God for faith is a wonderful thing, because he wants to give that to you. God does not try to hide himself. He's not a far-off God. You know, if there was an agnostic, quote, atheist who said, "Oh, if I got to heaven that there is a God, I'll tell him, you didn't give me enough evidence of you in life." Wiggle your finger, young man. There's evidence of God. See the heavens, see the sky, see the wind blow. Look at my word. There is abundance evidence of God. The problem is, in our world today, people don't want God. They often want themselves. There's plenty of evidence for the truth of who God is. I urge you, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, ask him. Ask people in your church. Ask mature Christians. Come to God's word. What should you read? It'll open your heart. Holy Spirit's work is to open the eyes of your heart. Young people, I urge you, do not be complacent. Why? I know your generation very well. I've taught them for more years than I care to mention to you right now. There are many hurting, lonely kids, very lost. They need you who know the truth. They need you to share his love with them. I urge you, do not be complacent. There's a little girl, young woman in my class, she's 10th grade. There's a young woman in my class. I was teaching about the love of God. How when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, God the Father says, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And I said, "Can you hear that Jesus is saying that to you? That he wants you to be his son or daughter that he loves, with you he is well pleased. And the little girl writes back, the young woman writes back to me, "It doesn't much matter to me. You see, I've heard it all my life. And the love of God, I just take for granted. It doesn't much matter to me that God loves me. I've heard it, and it makes very little difference to me." I praise God for that young woman, that she was willing to write that to me, because then I could pray for her that God would truly open up her heart to the amazing gift of his love. Parents sitting in the back on sounding board, all parents here, love your children. Encourage them in God's word. Be a dad that reads God's word to your children. Be a dad that encourages them, builds them. And try not to exasperate them. Easier said than done. Be a father. Be a husband. Be a good leader in your family. Old people! Uh-oh. There's only two of them here. Paul and I. Okay. Old people. Old people, that's me. Invest your time in eternity. Time is precious. We only have a limited run here. The older I get, the shorter I see time running down. Invest your time into eternity. And that eternity is to share God's word and to reach out. And I know Paul does, has for many years. Reach out to those in need to know God's love. Reveal God's love in words, in actions, and in your life. Praise God, that's an opportunity. The memory verse that I wanted you to think about again today is John 3:16. Never get tired of that verse. Never let that verse leave your heart. That is a verse that the world needs to know. That is a verse that can truly move mountains, the mountains of stubborn hearts like my own. That is a verse that we can bring to a very lost and hurting world. And I close with the ending words of Paul here. And what Paul says in verse 20, it's called the text of doxology, but it's just amazing words. And I want you to just think about this, you know, in our own lives. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." And the church said,
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. God bless you.